totally leaving that in.
What
there
is
we
that?
Go. For real, this time. I played the outro music.
Oh, gotcha.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hi, this is Chi.
And I'm enjoying my first and only drink of this week. I told Sam, and I should just in general, I'm cutting back way back. I think I'm only going to have like one drink a week, and that's right now with you guys. So enjoy it, bitches.
Wow, yeah. I'm impressed.
At least until the baby's born.
Oh, okay.
I'm starting to notice that like some 40-year-olds die, and like a lot of 50-year-olds die. And I'm 41, so I'm going to have to get a little healthier. At least a little. Yeah.
Well, according to my mom, that's when your body really, really goes downhill is the 50s.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
Okay, that's awesome for you, Emilio. I haven't been able to stop drinking since TwitchCon weekend. The Monday morning after TwitchCon house, I started up training at the new bar that I'll be working at. And when you're training behind the bar, you're also drinking all the drinks you're making. So And then not only that, I have all those leftover White Claw cans.
Are you getting paid for the training?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Cool. When do you officially start?
When the restaurant opens up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we stop by?
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
Totally. I'm super excited.
I will go and not have a drink. Fantastic.
Be surprised how cheap the bill is when you adopt that habit.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so BlizzCon is coming up, and we've got a few people attending here. I will not be going this year. Very sad, I know. I hear it's going to be a big year, too.
Well, there's always that rumor of D4 coming
up.
Yeah, so BlizzCon is the November 1st, November 2nd, so that's the next con that we'll be covering, and I will be going to BlizzCon, and if I can't go for the 2 days, November 1st and November 2nd, hopefully you guys can make a trip up there with my tickets or something and check it out.
How's that
for yourself.
Work? Is it assigned to your name? It's assigned to your name, right?
I don't think they check IDs at the door. Once you get your badge.
Oh, yeah, they do. I've been kicked out of there. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You get a badge.
Apparently, I don't look like a...
Okay.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Oh, goodness.
We might have to scrub that, Bobby.
Yeah. Anyways, no, I'm excited for it. So, I can't wait to talk about that con next.
All right. Well, let's talk
about
the con.
We definitely have to scrub that, Bobby.
Okay. Fuck. All right. No more of that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the con we just had. So TwitchCon / DLG con. If you listened to the last episode, you know it was pretty wild.
Epic Tryhard today says BlizzCon house. Let's go. Dude, you know what? Even if we had the resources, we need to recuperate. Like, fuck, man. That was, for an old man like me, that was a lot.
It was pretty nonstop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was the one that was really going nonstop.
Because you were going to bed late and waking up early.
Yeah.
And you only live 5 minutes from there.
About 10 minutes. So, no, I stayed
minutes.
Over at the house. So,
yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So I was like,
why are
I
you getting up so early?
I was switching from party mode to
mama
making breakfast
mode. Like,
yeah. Kind of like hostess mode left. And then I would disappear for some time and then come back and try to make up for lost time. So that's what I was doing, but cool. It was fun. It was great. I can't wait till next year.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal success. It was so cool to meet everybody face to face, have some one-on-one time with some listeners and just talk to them, you know, have that two-way conversation as opposed to always us just doing the talking. So that was awesome. I wish more people would have made it out, but the ones who did make it out were, it was such an incredible group. And there were a lot of people I was mentioning earlier before the show started, a lot of people that I kind of knew, but not really. But, you know, after the weekend, it's like you feel like best friends almost.
Yeah. This goes for all conventions, but the reason we have conventions in the first place is because you're meeting up with like-minded people. And so almost everybody in there, you share something in common with. And then for it to be about us was even an extra step on top of that. It's almost like, I guess feels like a wedding or something. Like, all these people are here because of us? Like, this is crazy, man. But it's a whole weekend? It's a fucking better than a wedding.
Yeah. We didn't let it go to our heads. It's not like we showed up in robes or anything.
Who's going to be the first one in a DLG wedding?
I don't know. Bobby, probably.
Nah.
We have a DLG baby before we have a DLG wedding.
That's true. Oh, so Ray is going as well to BlizzCon. Are you guys going together? Are you guys talking
probably
about
not.
Okay. Fuck that guy. Just talk to him.
I bought a ticket for a plus one.
Well, so. Have you made arrangements for where you're going to stay yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, you should do that. Every hotel books pretty quickly around there.
I'm sure.
Bobby put us at the ghetto.
The most ghetto.
Oh, Jesus, man. It was bad. Wherever they launched the Disneyland fireworks from, it must have been our roof. Because, like, those things were exploding right outside our window for the whole hour.
Really?
And it was just, I think I slept on top of the, I didn't want to sleep under the blankets. It was
yeah, that bad. Didn't seem sanitary.
Yeah.
But the last place
I got. What did you guys
say?
Because I stayed at a Marriott near.
No.
Oh, Marriott's nice. It was,
it was like the go fuck you in.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's like one of those hotels that they have outside, you know, that's really cheap. And all they do is cater to people who are going to Disneyland. Okay. But the last time I went. I booked early. I was on top of it, and I got a place just within walking distance, and it was really nice, and it was really easy to get back and forth. It was perfect.
Okay.
But I did that super far in advance.
So we had kind of like a impromptu meeting in the pool. Were you there for that, Chi? At the very end, like late Sunday? I think we were just
talking
about
No, I disappeared late Sunday, and then I came back even later.
You were there,
Sunday.
Bobby. Mm-hmm. And we were just kind of talking. And so I was like, so guys, I'm kind of thinking we should do this every 2 years so it's not too taxing on. And I got voted down fucking strong. Almost, I did a vote. Every single person there wants to do it next year. So next year, hopefully the success of this one, maybe more people will want to go and we'll try to, maybe we'll try to not to lose money this year.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Vegas. I don't know why. We'll talk about other stuff later. Yeah. We got a year, so
plenty of time to figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about some video games.
Yeah.
So first of all, there was an announcement. Everspace 2 is coming out pretty soon. It is on Kickstarter, and there is also a Steam page up for it. So this Everspace, the first one, was a game that Emilio, I know you really enjoyed.
Yeah, man. I probably have over 100 hours into it. I love this game.
I'm surprised they're coming out with a second one already. I felt like when you were talking about the first Everspace, you were always talking about it being in early access.
Oh, yeah.
Well this is slated for 2021.
Is just announced. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's probably going to be an early access at some point, maybe. But yeah, 2021.
But you're right, Chi. Like from the time that I started playing it to the time that it had its official release was probably 3 years. That's just a guess. At least two. And once it had the official release, I hardly played it because I had already, you know, burnt it out. Not that that's my complaint. Mm-hmm. That's just the way things worked out. And that's how it goes with early access sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that could just be their strategy. I mean, this game's not even marked until 2021.
Yeah.
And it's already got its own Steam page. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well,
based off the success of the first game, I imagine they'll generate a lot of interest for this game, a lot of Kickstarter money.
So I watched the trailer and I listened to the dev talk. First of all, the graphics are out of this world. Like, I mean, so
literally it's in space.
So the first thing that the first one, okay. So before Everspace had come out, I was like, why are there no roguelikes with AAA graphics? Like, what the fuck is going on? Or at least AA graphics. Every roguelike, it's not because I like pixel graphics that I play all these roguelikes. That's not it. I love roguelikes. But nobody would take the time to give them great graphics. And Everspace was the first game to do that. It's a hardcore roguelike with great, fantastic graphics and amazing backdrops. Now, the graphics are even better this time around. But they took the roguelike away. Now it's more of a space exploration type situation. I don't know. I didn't dig into it too much. But it seems not to the extent of No Man's Sky, because I think it has a story and it has a certain amount of levels that you can go to. But it's a single place RPG, space RPG is what they said. Mm-hmm. So
they did mention that this is going to be available on Steam first. They didn't get baited into an Epic exclusive.
Right.
And they were pretty critical about other developers who had taken that deal. So they are committed to releasing this on Steam first.
Well, that was, you know, that it was pivotal in their success in the first game, you know. Epic Try Hard Face says, so it's Elite Dangerous now. That's a fair comparison, like almost exactly. I would say it's more arcadey because the control, if it has the same controls as the first one, literally the first one had the controls of Half-Life, like forward W, back D. It's that easy. Pitch and yaw, it's super, super easy. It's all on the mouse. And so, yeah, so I wouldn't imagine it being a space sim. It's more arcadey, more RPG. Anyway, pretty excited. I'm going to try to get Rockfish Games on the phone. See if they want to talk.
So you did say they're taking out some of the roguelite
elements? All of it's gone.
All of it's gone.
It's just an RPG now, like a flying space RPG.
Okay. How do you feel about that, though?
I didn't like it at first, and okay. I still don't like it. I mean, you know, I love the hardcore roguelikes, but they've done enough to earn my high interest. You know, I like this first game so much that I can't just shrug this game off because... You know what I mean?
No, I said rogue light, but this is rogue like. What's the difference?
Neither
again?
One. This one is neither.
Not
the first
not,
one was rogue
that's
light.
That's what I meant.
Rogue light.
Okay, so I okay.
Do we want to go over this again? I have to because I'll bring it up on Children of Morta. The difference between rogue like and rogue light, as I understand it.
So the last Everspace one was about $30, I think. There's no price point on Everspace 2 yet. I'd
might have been 20.
About the same.
20? Yeah, I would imagine this is in the $30-$40 range. This is, I believe it was this game that made us come up with our tag double A, Bobby. Double A title. Because it's not, it definitely doesn't seem like an indie title, but it definitely doesn't have the money of a triple A title.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful, and so we had to come up with a new term, double A. The battery.
So, big news, I guess, maybe a little late. Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming to PC November 5th.
Yeah, crazy. This is.
Do we care anymore? Or?
I do.
Absolutely. This is bought for me. Guaranteed bought.
I already have the game for PlayStation 4, but it's still sealed. I did play through the tutorial on a friend's PS4. I have had a PS4 sitting around for a while now. Probably over a year.
Yeah.
And I still haven't plugged it in. If it comes out on PC. If it comes out on PC, then I'm actually going to put in the effort to install it, load it up, and play it.
Right.
If it's console, then it's SOL.
Well, here's the interesting thing about the PC release.
It looks like Norman Reedus right there, doesn't he?
Yeah, it kind of does. So it's going to be available for pre-order on, of course, Rockstar's launcher.
Right.
And if you buy it on, you know, Humble Games or GOG, it's all going to activate on Rockstar. But it'll also be available through the Epic Store. It said Steam is going to be in December. So you won't be able to get it on Steam until December.
Wow. I wonder what happened. Man, that piques my curiosity what happened exactly.
Well, it's kind of like an Epic Store exclusive, but they're also letting you activate it on their own launcher. It's kind of the same, I guess, with Ubisoft. Like if Ubisoft were to sell like Ghost Recon or something on the Ubi Store or whatever they call it, but then also do an Epic Store exclusive and then not release it on PC until six months later or whatever.
Steam, you mean?
Yeah, Steam.
Yeah. Interesting.
So,
don't you think that's kind of a disservice for gamers, in a sense?
I mean, we went over it like 2 weeks ago, how it really worked out for Borderlands 3. I mean, it was a smash success for Borderlands 3. This has... It's interesting because this is kind of like... This is not Borderlands 3. It might even have more hype behind it. I think... I mean... Okay, it's fucking really hard. If somebody's offering you success up front, you don't even have to take risk. Like, here's the money before you even try to sell your thing. Who's going to say no to that? That's tough to say no to.
What was Everspace's impression on not becoming an exclusive with Epic?
Yeah.
Or what are most other studios thinking regarding that?
They're probably morally opposed to it, to go in exclusive, because the headline or something that I read said that, like, there's no way that we're doing that, you know, even though. So, yeah, some people take a moral stance against it. Personally, and I've said it a bunch of times, I'm not saying it's good business. I'm just saying it's business. It's a business move to do this. And if I was trying to take down Steam or take market share over Steam, this is what I would do. Just fucking playing hardball, basically. You know what I mean?
Got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
I wonder, I do have questions. I haven't looked into it. I'm wondering, is there a graphics, not overhaul, but are they going to be markedly better?
They did mention a few things. I read the article a couple days ago. So, okay, a range of graphical and technical enhancements for increased immersion.
Nice.
There was also content as well. Like, I think it was including any, like, DLC or whatever.
Nice, nice.
New bounty hunting missions, gang hideouts, weapons, and more. So, yeah, it's a fuller version than what was released, like, a year ago on console?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I think it was about a year.
Man, Old West is one of my least favorite settings. But I know it's supposed to be such a good game that I'm all over it.
Hmm. All right, next up. This was a recommendation from Jens. This one's called Disco Elysium. It's on Steam right now. I don't think it's available, actually. Yeah, October 15th this comes out. No price just yet. So this is an open world RPG. And they're advertising really hardcore freedom of choice. So you're a detective and
cool look.
Yeah, it's got a great look to it. It's kind of like a painted isometric view.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird, so you play as detective and you can have these different personality traits and the decisions you make affect that and affect your relations with other people. You know, it really boasts this freedom of choice, which is what a lot of games try to do. And I feel like even if they do it right, do people even want that? Like, I think that's something we all think we want, but then these games never really do that well.
Give me an example, Bobby, what you're saying.
Freedom of choice. So, like, completely open world, like, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know, so
like a Fallout 3, where you could, like, kill every quest giver.
Yeah. Or you can develop relationships with people, treat them certain ways, and that causes them to act differently. I don't know. I feel like it's the paradox of choice here. Like, you give people more options, and then they just have that fear of missing out on other experiences in the game, you know?
It's a lot harder to tell a good story when the story's going all over the place as well.
Yeah, or when the player's controlling the story.
Yeah.
But either way, this game looks very interesting. I like the look of it. It looks like the RPG element. Let me get to a screenshot here of the inventory. Or I think this might be like a talent tree right here.
It looks
here.
Like a talent tree, yeah.
Yeah. It looks pretty involved for an RPG.
I think graphically it looks fucking sweet.
Yeah.
And it's turn-based. It's turn-based combat.
And it has dice. It's rolling dice on. So I would imagine it's like a closer to D&D than it is than other things to get things done.
Yeah. I'm actually really excited about this whole freedom of choice, this whole create your own persona and change the story as you go. I have always enjoyed that about video games. I like the whole, it's almost like the Paragon effect or the good side, bad side, you know, the evil answer.
Paragon.
Or what is it in Star Wars where it's like good, bad, neutral?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, and how, and basically where you rank changes up your interactions with people. But there's a certain way when you play those games, like you just want to be either like, you know, like the super true goody goody, like being in the middle is kind of boring. It's almost like a generic answer or just being evil all the way through. I wonder if this game is going to open up the element where you don't have to consistently be good or make good choices. You could just go off of what you instinctively would want to do. And then it would play the story out the way you would want it to. Because I know in other games, I would, most of the time I'm on the good side.
Yeah.
And then, but even though I wanted to answer a bad answer. I needed to be consistently good in order to adhere and unlock the good choices,
right,
or something or another. Whereas with this one here, I wonder if it's actually true to your choices and how that actually changes.
If they're boasting that as their main thing, then hopefully, when I want to play evil, I find myself having a hard time picking those evil choices.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even, not to say that I'm the greatest guy ever or anything like that. Just like naturally, maybe that's the way I've been playing video games ever since Mario, Saving the Princess. That's how you play video games. And then, like, to play an evil person and then call a guy an asshole when he's being a good dude is hard to do. Especially mm-hmm. in, like, Telltale games.
The moral choice systems are pretty one-sided, though. Like, you're either Jesus or Hitler. You know, there's not a whole lot of in-between. So, yeah, it does kind of feel weird to choose one side over the other. And, yeah, gee, you're right. Like, sometimes when you play those games, you start choosing decisions based on the ending that you want or some other goal that you have in mind, not... And, you know, some of that responsibility falls on the player to, you know, choose how they're going to play the game. But I feel like nobody ever does, you know. People always just want to work the system in video games. So I think, I don't know. Maybe there's people out there that don't. You know, I try not to, but then I always find myself like, well, what happens if I go this route or that route? Or, you know, what's better? You know, let me min-max this. You know, what's going to make the game easier or make my character stronger? What decision should I make?
Mm-hmm. It's but like don't you don't generally disperse all of your stat points across the board. You accentuate like three main features or stats in order
like
to even
personally.
That
or think
like
with
Divinity
you
when you think about it. Yeah,
yeah.
That's gonna procure like certain abilities and or conversational choices. So
kind of comes back to what Bobby was saying. Like, do we want all these options? If all we're going to do is try to beat the game in the best way we can with the choices given, as opposed to doing it as you were yourself and actually role play through the game. I really feel like most people aren't going to role play. They're going to min-max and try to get through the thing as fast as possible.
I feel like there's a small number of people who are RPGs like that. We'll do it right. But yeah, for the most part, I just don't think these games have big appeal because of that. But I'm focusing on this one aspect of this game. And, you know, of course, I haven't even played it. But there looks to be a lot more going on here. I mean,
it's bringing up a bigger issue, even if it doesn't touch on that.
Yeah, but Disco Elysium, I mean, it looks like a great RPG regardless.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking cool. I'm cool with this. Thanks, Chosen, for the fucking 14-month sub.
Heck yeah, nice. Chosen. Thanks for coming out to the DLG Con House, too.
Yep.
All right, next game is... Oh, lost my notes here. Onerism. This was posted by Ultra Magnus in our Discord.
Onerism?
Onerism? I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm not 100% sure. It's like...
if your tenants aren't paying the rent, the owner has an onerism?
Well, for some reason...
It's like hallucinations.
Okay.
It sounds strangely similar to onanism, though. Completely different. Look it up later.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's not that bad.
He's got a devilish grin, guys.
Now, if you saw the movie Sherlock and Holmes, you know what it means.
Okay.
All right. This game...
Was that as bad as they said it was?
It was pretty bad, yeah.
Yeah.
When I first saw this game, I completely thought one thing. Okay, this is like a 3D adventure game with a little bit of action mixed in. It's got this cute, like, Japanese style. Okay, but actually, it's a little bit different than I thought as I read up on it. It looks a little more grindy than that. I'm trying to find the description that I had read here. Let's see. An action-adventure game where you play as Carol, a little girl full of energy with imagination and attitude. Wakes up, strange portal in her bedroom, mysterious creature. She goes to the portal. Okay. So you explore different areas. You find and unlock 20 different weapons in Metroidvania style, 9 bonus hidden levels. So it looks like you're going through a lot of the same levels, kind of just grinding to get gear in a way. I don't know. And it's like local co-op too.
Huh? The whole thing is flying game or...
No, it's a girl running around with a gun, but you get different guns and you fight different enemies.
Mm-hmm.
She loses her bun, which is her bunny.
Yeah, see, this is why we need... Oh, my God, the audio keeps coming up. This is why we need headphones so you guys can listen to this. Very, very Japanese.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why when I see the name, I think Onerism.
Maybe it is. Yeah. Maybe I'm like totally
Oni
misreading
it. Oni is demon, right? Oni means demon.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they have those masks. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you add another eye, it's... What, brother?
I don't know.
No idea.
Anyway.
And then her bun actually looks like my little bunny that I grew.
Is anybody interested?
It's so adorable.
This does not look very good.
Why does it look like Splatoon?
Yeah, it does kind of look like Splatoon. It's $18.
I'm going to try to cool it down in here.
I think it's a pass for me on this one. I don't know.
Yeah, hard pass.
I already lived a childhood like this, so I don't need to do it again.
All right. Oh, epic try hard face. Thanks for the 7 months, man.
Thank you.
Subs coming in today. All right, let's talk about some games that we have been playing. Ooh, it is hot in here. I'll start it off with Deep Rock Galactic. There was a big update for this. Let me pull it up on the screen here. October 1st, the update 25 came out. So they said the update was going to come out August or September, and it came out October, but October 1st. So I guess they just missed it. It's all right, though. It was a huge update, and they call it Endgame Part 1. So I think they're really getting close to their 1.0 release. As a matter of fact, reading through the some other part of their website, it said they plan on releasing 1.0 of Deep Rock in December of this year. So I think this is the penultimate update here. I think the next one is going to be 1.0.
So people that are new to Deep Rock and how deep this goes with us, we gave it Game of the Year last year. Almost unanimously, like, it was just... two out of three voted on it. So me and Bobby, that's how much we like this game. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, and I played quite a bit of it. I'm almost up to 200 hours, I believe. Probably around 200 hours. So all that being said, like, this new update, I liked it, but it's not going to keep me playing too much because it's endgame content. Like, it's grindy stuff. It's like, okay, so they have...
Isn't that what you were looking for? Or would it...
If I had the time, maybe. Like, if it was summer... You know, maybe I'd spend more time trying to get all these overclocks. So they basically added loot boxes, but they call them infused matrix cores. And these have things called overclocks in them, which can modify your gun in certain ways. Some are better than the other. This also has a lot of cosmetic items as well. So basically loot boxes, and you can get them various different ways.
Do you pay for them?
No. Okay. This is all, like, in the game. There's no way to buy them. You don't buy a key to unlock them.
That's how you make a goddamn game.
Yeah.
Yay.
But you wouldn't even think that they're loot boxes because they call them matrix cores, and the way that you get them is a little different. So I don't know. I think they're just trying to stay away from that word.
I'm seeing two or three new mobs I've never seen before.
There's no new monsters in this update.
What?
But they do have new anomalies and mutators. So those are things that just change the level a little bit. And those are fun because they switch up the game. And one of them is really fun. There's low oxygen.
Yeah.
So you have to keep going back and refueling on oxygen, or you call in a resupply and you can get oxygen from there. Mm. That's cool. There's one where bugs regenerate, one where bugs explode when they die into poison. I did that one on a molten level, and so they exploded and then caught fire.
Oh, because poison catches fire, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that was an interesting reaction. There's one where this big, giant ghost just follows you around the whole level and annoys you the whole time. He can one-shot
like
you,
like a
too.
Casper?
Yeah, kind of like that ghost from Mario. I don't know what that ghost was.
Boo.
Remember, you turn around and look at him and he'd stop?
Boo.
Yeah, boo.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's a lot of great stuff in this. They have the deep dives, too, which is the...
Oh, yeah. This is all the caves in a row, right?
So you do three caves in a row, and you don't reset health or ammo in between them. Also, you don't reset minerals, too, so you can stock up on your Nitra and just call in a ton of resupplies. They get increasingly hard. So this was the best part about this update for me, because I was really trying to do the elite super dive, and it's a marathon, so you really have to pace yourself.
What's the elite super dive?
It's just like that, but like all on hazard level 5, like super hard.
Damn, did you get it done?
Yeah, I was able to.
Shit.
I just found a really good team. And when we beat it, the guy was like, one of the guys in the group was like, oh my God, thank you guys so much. I've been at this for 6 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's like everybody's got to be on their game. You can't, they do gate it. Like, you have to have a promoted character to even start any deep dive, not even just the elites. So they do gate it a little bit. But
yeah, Fastidios was saying that he couldn't even play with you.
Yeah, he was trying to get into one and we couldn't do it.
That's good. He wouldn't have made it, man. That guy dies.
Well, he plays on the controller, which I remembered. I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
Dude, he plays every FPS on a controller.
That's ridiculous.
Let's not bring him up on the podcast anymore just because of that.
Yeah, but I mean, I was having a good time with it. I spent, I don't know, 5 to 10 hours this week playing it, and that was good. I probably won't continue until into next week because I want to check out the Killing Floor 2 update. So many Halloween updates right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
I know Borderlands 3 is doing one.
I'm excited. I get really excited about video games again around Halloween because I do love horror games.
Yeah.
And I tend to get very far, if not beat, most of the horror games.
Do you have one in planned?
First one up? I want to get back into Resident Evils, like Resident Evil 7.
You never finished 7, right?
Yeah. Maybe I could borrow someone's VR headset and do that. If not, finish Resident Evil 3 or 2?
Oh, the remaster?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was 2.
Yeah, 2.
Yeah, you know, I went to install Killing Floor 2 the other day, and it was something ridiculous, like 30 to 50 gigs. I don't know what happened to that game.
And originally, it was probably like 10, right?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
They have so much DLC, but also it seems like, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so Deep Rock, great game. Check it out.
You mentioned
1.0 release. Oh, you know,
I have to ask you, though. You did mention that this was an endgame update. Like, what necessarily deems it as endgame? Would
because
you just say that
you're spending a lot of time getting like little upgrades, you know, like everybody's kind of maxed out who's been playing in a while. Like all my characters are maxed out. I've got like just about everything unlocked, but this really gives you something to strive for. So you really have to not only grind, but also get lucky in these infused matrix cores and hope you get a good overclock for the weapon you want to.
Like old school WoW.
Yeah. Cause it's all super random. Yeah. But it's kind of cool. I mean, you go to the forge and you roll a dice. Ooh, what'd I get? You know, it's like the thrill of that. You know?
But there's no trading.
No trading.
No.
And I don't think you can
melt it.
I think they're going to put that
melting.
In. I think they're going to put it in where you can like trade in stuff to get like craft a specific one that you want. That's something that they said was coming.
Okay. I think they should definitely have some sort of community lobby, almost like, you know, like in MMOs, because that
their
way,
Discord is huge. There's
that
like
way,
thousands of people live on the Discord, but yeah, that's outside of the game. I see what you're saying.
Because like that way you can actually show off the loot you have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, all the cosmetics, it's kind of, you know, that's a bit of a status symbol, especially if you get one of the really rare helmets. And they've got a lot of beard ornaments now, too.
Oh, yeah. How's the beard physics, dude?
The beard physics. I think they put the beard physics update in there just because they started doing new decorations on the beard. Like, you know, some of them are braided with little diamonds or metals.
Oh, shit.
Them. Yeah, you can get pretty
fancy. I want some diamonds on my beard.
It's pretty fancy, man. Yeah. But, yeah, man, I still love this game, but it's just like, man, 200 hours, you know, it's going to start wearing on you a little bit.
So. Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, I just don't have that much time.
You kind of have like a jaded review of it, I guess, or maybe a saturated.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are really liking it because the community was at about 1,000 players regularly, and it's at about 3,000 now with this new update.
Nice.
So a lot of people, especially those people like me who would put in a lot of hours into this game, like they actually have something to work towards.
Right.
So that's cool.
Yeah, if this was summer, you'd probably be way more excited, just like you said.
Yeah, I'd be playing more of it. And plus, there's just, God, there's so much stuff coming out right now. Killing Floor 2, the Halloween update. I want to start playing scary games. Like, it's a busy time of year with video games. We're right around the corner from, like, all the November releases. It's going to get crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, how is Borderlands 3, by the way?
I finished it, finally, last night.
Oh, nice.
Late last night. By the way, a couple tips. One, if you think you're about to beat it, you're not. It's probably about 2 or 3 more hours once you think you're going to the last part, which is not bad. And also, I got to stress this, only do side missions when you feel underleveled for the main mission. Just because I did all the side missions, and I got way too strong for the main mission, and then everything was just too... The only thing that doesn't adapt is the main missions. Those have like hard level caps, right? So let's say I was level 40 going into level 32 missions. And that only happened because I was doing all the side missions. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
So the main course, let's say, was a little less delicious because I had so many side plates. But... Yeah, so I would just say stay on main story. Because also, once you beat the game, just like the other ones, you get into true Vault Hunter mode where it gets actually pretty difficult. And at that point, it's more just like grinding. It's just like Bobby said, grinding towards getting those last few inches of power or whatever it is. And... What else was I going to say? Yeah, so you can do those all during the Grindfest on the next playthrough. I'm happy that I'm going to true Vault Hunter mode, and I'm definitely going to play it. Like Captain Gummy and Cricket both picked it up, and they were so glad. They said they were so glad that they picked it up because they're having a really good time. If I was going to just wrap it up, I mean, I've talked about this game a lot. But the last three bosses that I fought made me really appreciate real hardcore boss fights again. Like, I feel like we've kind of gotten away from that in gaming, which is fine. Like, you know, all companies should just follow whatever they want to do. But to fight against something that fucking takes your breath away and you're like, holy fuck, like, whoa, like, what, this thing is impressive. The last three ones that I fought, the first one because the difficulty, two because the grandiosity, and the third one just because the bullet, what, so much of a bullet sponge. Me and JP Diddy shot this thing for 15 minutes straight, like, to kill it, and it wasn't boring any point during that. Yeah, this is still the best Borderlands. This is probably the number one game played communally on our Discord right now. There's always either one or two people playing it. New people just bought it this week, so they're just starting from the beginning. So it's still not too late to jump in. Huge fan, loving it.
Game of the year?
No, not game of the year, unfortunately. Good game, though.
We still got a little bit of year left here. All right.
Shit, it might go to Red Dead Redemption 2, you know? Like, who knows?
Yeah, because...
It really might. Like,
it's going to be a PC launch.
Yeah. Bobby's like, not if my vote has anything to say against it.
My vote never counts. You're not excited for Red
Dead? I'm so excited.
Don't you like Westerns, Bobby? I thought that was
good. Yeah, I like that. I like that theme. I never played the old one, so I don't have any nostalgia for it. I don't know.
Me neither.
I could get into it, but I don't know.
Are you going to buy it?
Probably not. Not anytime soon. I never... Because it's... You know, it's like a GTA.
Maybe in 2030 when, right? Like, you could do...
Yeah, maybe. Once it's retro. All right. Children of Morta.
Ooh. Okay. So, again. So, rogue light is when the things that you do on your run help your subsequent runs. So, let's say you get a bunch of gold. You unlock some abilities. You have those abilities for the next run. A roguelike means doesn't matter what you do, you can't get any stronger, pretty much.
I feel like this explanation should be recorded, and then I can just have it at the push of a button.
Yeah, there you go.
On my soundboard down here.
Does that make sense, G?
Well, which games are definite roguelites?
So I would say Children of Morta is definitely a roguelite. Because, and here's the great part about this game, and the best part about this game. You play as a family. There's a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, another son, grandma, and uncle. And they are real family, and they talk like real family members. And you see the little girl grow up, and they adopt a dog and all this stuff, and they're in the forest. But they are a family of warriors, and they've fought against that shit, that black, nasty stuff, forever, but it's getting stronger and it's encroaching on their family and it's taking over their house. So it's up to them to like kind of save the world and go down in the dungeons and clear out that, I think it's called the corruption. And so it's cool because it's kind of like coming of age story for the kids, but for the dad, it's kind of like this old shit again. And for the uncle, it's like, we got to try our best. And they all have their own personalities. Every time you die, almost, the story progresses. So you die, it goes back to the house where you all live, mm-hmm. which is surrounded by corruption at this point. And something, it might not be big, but it's something more is revealed to you. Like, sure, it's a tiny little spoiler, but the young daughter, the one that's only like 8 or 9, the one that you're seeing grow up, she learns or innately has pyrotechnic,
Pyrokinetic?
Yeah, she's pyrokinetic. See, she snaps her fingers one day and she has a flame. So then grandma starts teaching her. She's nowhere near fighting, but you see her develop her skills. And, like, it's a great way to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else? You bring back gold from the dungeons. I would say the combat is exactly Diablo 1. Like, even... It's very, very Diablo-esque. I mean, there's to the point where, like, the goats, when they die,
so
the goat
men... So it's not like a twin-stick shooter?
If you think of, like, Diablo, wasn't it kind of?
No, Diablo was very much a... It was very much... Well, you use the mouse to move.
Yeah,
then
it's the controls are exactly
and then
Diablo.
You click on...
Yeah, it's not a twin-stick shooter.
Abilities.
But I was thinking about this because this came up in my head, obviously. I was like, is this another twin-stick shooter? But it controls exactly like Diablo.
Are you sure? It looked really fluid. And when I think of Rogue anything outside of platformers, I think of... like twin stick shooters, like Enter the Gungeon.
You have like a sword and shield guy. He can't shoot at all. You have actually the majority are melee builds. There's only one range character.
Wait, Diablo, you actually unlocked abilities and you use hotkeys to use the abilities. Are you doing that in this
game?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you unlock abilities and you have a tech tree that you go down actually. And here's the great, there's two really nice things about this story, this game. The character is kind of like Darkest Dungeon, develops stress. Like if you really like one family member
family. Uh-huh.
And you keep playing him over and over, he's like, fuck, dude, I can't go anymore. So then you have to send the other family members. But in the tech tree, guys, so imagine like a regular tech tree where you're like, you know, you go down these branches. Mm-hmm. But on the side of a tech tree, you have a family tree. So... when you get to a certain point in the tech tree for a certain character, he shares that with the entire family. So the little boy, he's like, I don't know, 15, 16. He's a rogue, right? He turned into a rogue. He was the first one that I got to like level 5. Then it says, I forget his name, Marco or whatever. Marco taught the rest of the family how to... look for weak points on the enemy. And so everybody's critical... chance went up 5%, right?
Oh.
Yeah. So it what do you call it? It rewards you for upgrading everybody mm-hmm. equally. But at the same time, that takes
you
away
get
longer.
Status buffs, probably.
Permanent base, ones. Yeah. Okay, like what is it called? Whatever. Anyway, they're permanent and they're forever. Passive. That's what I meant. Anyway. It's a really good... the combat is probably the worst thing about the game. The production value is through the roof. Graphics are fantastic. Narration. I don't know what it is about narration.
Is this co-op?
Yeah, local and that's another co-op. Good thing. So Sam and I, she's liking this, which is great for me and Sam. Like, just having a good time. Because all we used to play was Binding of Isaac, and now she's like, hey, can we go play that game again? I'm like, fuck yeah, we can. And so what's really good about that is her playing it with me. We can level up these characters at the same time. I just want to get these motherfuckers leveled up so the shared family experience goes up. And not just that, but it has a bunch of little like side quests. Like the uncle sent a letter to his ex-wife to try to get her back home because... like the world's going to end if you don't come back. And I'm an alcoholic and I was having a hard time, you know, all this stuff. And I'm wondering if she's going to come back. We adopted like a wolf cub. We built it a house. Like not like all these little story elements only take about 15 seconds. The awesome narrator's like, and then the wolf cub is lost and doesn't. And then you're like, oh, okay. So you go get the fucking wood and, I don't know. It's really good. It has great story elements. And like I said, the worst thing about it is the combat, but just because it's so old, not because it's not fun. And having a really good time with it. You can see the reviews here. 5 out of 5, 4.5 out of 5, 86, 9, 9. So, digging it.
Nice. So, $22 for that game. Children of Morta.
I would love to play this, but I really wonder how... it parallels the Diablo 1 gameplay as much as you say it does, because I'm very skeptical looking at it.
It's just Diablo. Is Diablo 1 plus roguelite.
Okay.
Because instead of buying, instead of loot dropping, there's no loot. Instead of that, you're going down a tech tree.
Okay.
That's kind of like the big difference. But the dungeons are randomized. The events in the dungeons are randomized.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Diablo, you know, like which way you're going to go.
Diablo is a lot of spamming your mouse clicks, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of that here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have to directionally point them and...
Yep.
And hit the monster? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've been playing a little costume quest, too, getting ready for Halloween?
Why am I on the road? I'm getting drunk over here, man. You go. Gee, talk to us about what happened in League.
Oh, League of Legends. So, guys, since TwitchCon weekend, I'm still recovering. If you're watching this live, I am husk of a human being at this point. Still tired. This is my first day off, and I still feel like I'm not up to speed. Nonetheless, been working a lot, but I did manage to stream last night. Played CS. It had been so long since I played CS. I lost my rank. So it's not that you completely lose your rank. It expires if you don't play. And then when you go back and you win a game and it gives you a rank back. I lost two games in a row. That was rough. And it was unfortunate because I think in both games, or at least in one game, I was top fragging. And that's how I know I was not in a good group. If I'm top fragging with like negative,
right.
With like a 0.5 KDR, it wasn't a good experience. But it was really nice to be streaming again. Because it had been a while since I had done that. Outside of CS, though, I got into League of Legends because the people that we had met at TwitchCon, or the people that I interacted with, were mostly League players.
Mm.
And it was interesting when I was streaming.
Can you name some? Like who?
Alan. I brought him back from the concert.
Oh,
and King
gotcha.
Scyther came by and said hello. I think King Scyther is actually in our live Twitch chat now.
Gotcha.
And the people from my audience and then also people from my WoW guild are League players.
Oh, okay.
So it was interesting. It was nice having a MOBA to fall back on and to integrate different types of gamers from different areas of my life. And I'm not lying. Like I am dating someone who's a really good League player and I've never played a MOBA with him. So I'm honestly trying to get better at
League. Have you played with
League.
Him?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
So I'm trying to be good enough to maybe not be impressive, but to keep up.
Right. That's fair.
Learning a lot.
Hmm. Yeah.
Learning a lot.
Are we good, Bobby? On our show?
No, we're not.
All right. Well, keep going, Chi.
Yeah.
He'll try to fix it.
Nonetheless, enjoying League. The people have tilted, not at me, thankfully, because I'm only level 9 at this point. And other people are in the hundreds in terms of their level or up there. And then they've been very patient with me, kind of helping me out. I get a lot of backseating. Appreciate that, too. I'm still only really playing Lux. And it's been a while since I last played League. But then all I need to do is look up one quick refresher, how to play this hero, look up a item leveling guide,
right.
And then boom, it puts me mentally, progressively, just days and hours ahead just by understanding the meta.
They're so fucking complicated. You gotta look up those videos.
You do, because this game, it's been out forever. People have been playing it forever.
Making videos forever.
Yeah, and people know and obsess with this game like the back of their hand. And it's a game.
I can smell your feet from here, by the way. I
can't really?
No, I'm joking.
Oh. It's like, it's probably not my feet. That's actually one of the cleaner parts of my body.
Oh.
Anyway.
Hey now. New boyfriend getting down.
Stop. Anyways. No. So playing League. Might even play Dota 2 again. Still playing WoW, is kind of playing WoW.
Did we lose the internet, Bobby?
Yeah, I think
my whole guild
shot.
Is rent. Like Asmongold actually is.
Sorry, Chi.
Yeah, it's no problem. Asmongold is actually respecing Horde on my WoW server now, and I'm Alliance. So Asmongold is coming to my server, but as Horde. So where there was no longer a queue, there's now a queue again for my WoW server.
Boo.
But October is going to be, whereas in September, I had the TwitchCon house to organize. I was working at least 6 days out of the week. October is going to be the exact opposite. I'll be working 1 or 2 days out of the week until the restaurant opens up.
And gaming the rest of the goddamn time.
Gaming the rest of the, yeah. So starting now, good. I'll have more time for gaming. So good. After this cast, I'll be gaming and streaming again. So if I can have the energy, I'm tired.
Cool.
But no, I'm super excited to get better at the competitive team-based games that I play and I'm known for. So you'll hear me talking and getting into that more so. I'll get into more stories as I come.
Nice.
But yeah, no, it's fun because I'm gaming with gamers and having different games that we can all fall back on to play instead of everybody having to see, like, Borderlands 3. I still haven't dished out the money for it.
Yeah.
Because freaking
$60.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's free. Like, League is free, isn't it? Yeah. League is free.
Bobby, so I started playing Costume Quest because I could have sworn you said that it was one of your favorite games, or like at least a favorite Telltale games. That it was.
You mean Double Fine?
Double Fine.
Yeah, no, it's not any of that. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's one of those games that I liked a lot, but I probably wouldn't recommend because I don't think people would like it as much as me.
No, I thought it was good. I only played maybe about an hour with it with Mila. Mila was controlling it, so an hour of her playing is more like 20 minutes of me playing, right? Because there's bundling around and just going the wrong directions and
not knowing how to go through.
So it's a game about little kids on Halloween. And
Stranger Things 3, which is free, I think, on Twitch Prime Loot.
More like a... It's an RPG, I guess.
It's kind of an RPG. It's an adventure game. It's little kids that they're trick-or-treating, and whatever costume they wear, that costume gives them power. So if they're wearing the unicorn costume, then they have all the unicorn powers, the unicorn kit.
So as janky as this looks right here, Chi, when they go into the actual battles...
I'll see if I can find a screenshot. Yeah. They don't have a video.
So it goes into, more of a Final Fantasy high graphics thing. So they go, you see the little kid dressed as a robot. Mm-hmm. He turns into like an Optimus Prime.
Yeah, right there. You can see him.
Yeah, there you go. So like there's the little janky video, real life or whatever, where they're going around trying to get candy. But then every time that the, what are they called? Gremlins or something like that? The bad guys come around. Mm-hmm. They go into that kind of Final Fantasy
onset imagination mode.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the child's imagination. So when they go into the fight mode, then they're these big, powerful beings with these superpowers, and they're shooting rays and
how
doing all
these
cool
combat?
Things. I mean, it's very basic. It's like a little kid's game, but it's very cute and it's very like Halloween themed. And it's just, I don't know. I found it kind of charming. And the second one is actually really good. But there were things that the second one did where I'm like, oh, that's so much better. But then there were things about the first one that I liked more as well. So it was one of those, sequels.
All right. You guys are going to harp on me for playing Counter-Strike and MOBAs, and you guys are fucking playing costume quests where you dress as the candy corn and you get the candy corn powers.
See, the one dressed as the robot was very upset that he was dressed as the candy corn.
Exactly.
And
what the
he's
fuck
like,
can you do?
Right there, he's literally telling him, you're messing with my street cred. He's like, I can't walk. They're twins. He's like, I can't walk around with you. You're dressed as a candy corn.
You know, the kid does. If I'm remembering this correctly, it's been like over 5 years since I've played any of these games. But the candy corn's kind of like a joke, right? It doesn't even do anything in combat.
No.
It's a magic corn.
He gets kidnapped right away. At the very beginning.
Oh, okay.
Right after he tells him that, he gets kidnapped.
I think there's a point in the game where you can fight with the candy corn, but it doesn't really do anything. It's just kind of like a gag. I don't know. It's a good game. You know,
Mila was loving it.
Oh, she did?
The 7-year-old was loving it. The writing, Double Fine's fucking writing's great. Mm-hmm.
And the only thing, especially, there's some really inside jokes in this. They've got a joke about, an Arrested Development episode, too. I'm like, who gets that? Who plays this game?
Really?
Yeah.
Which one? What did they reference? I would know it.
The $3,000 suit. Come on. No? Yeah, I don't know. It's a deep cut.
I should know that one.
It's no shooter.
Yeah. But, The one thing I didn't like about this, and I totally understand why they did it, but there's no voice dialogue. I think they kind of do that thing.
Not even that.
No. Okay, it's just straight up like text boxes, which I'm like, okay, you know, it's expensive to pay voice actors and get that done. I understand why they did it. And it looks a little more like a comic book with the writing, but I thought some voice acting would have gone a long way for this game.
So should we scrub our playthrough and go to two, Bobby?
One's good.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally the, what were those Jedi games? Force Unleashed, dude. Like, Force Unleashed 1, I'm like, man, this game's really good, but there's, like, they could totally improve. Mm-hmm. Like, this, and this could be way better. Second one, this, and this was way better, but then they messed up, like, some other stuff. You know, it was totally that situation where the sequel, like, it did some things totally right and some things not quite as good.
This is
now,
so weird.
Because my defense, I was playing this with a 7-year-old.
Yeah, I
for
know.
For Halloween.
But even no, when I pre-purchased the sequel, so I don't
Anyways,
know what my excuse
it's
was.
It's weird because even as a kid and as a grown woman who still loves games like Stardew and Harvest Moon and My Time at Portia, for some reason, when I look at this game, even as a child, back even in my Neopet days, I would look at this game and I would just say, too easy. Hard pass.
You're there for the story.
Well because no, even you know when what? I was, even when I was 7 years old,
I failed.
I got killed
a few times.
I got my little brother into Counter-Strike when he was 7.
Yeah.
So the games I was playing back when I was 7.
You're playing this for the story. It's a Double Fine game.
Okay. Oh yeah, the second one has the dentist.
Oh yeah, the dentist.
What else does
He's
Double Fine
to take everyone's
play?
Candy?
I mean,
Double Fine. You know, they make it's Tim Schafer, so he was like the guy from the '90s who did those like LucasArts point and click adventure type games. Right. So now Double Fine, they did stuff like Broken Age. What's the one where you go into everyone's brain? Psychonauts.
Okay. So it would be for the story.
Very then. Close to a point and click adventure, but the writing's good. I'm enjoying it. I think it's good.
Yeah. Okay.
And the second one
was
pretty good.
It's frustrating playing with Mila because her mechanical skills aren't. And not just mechanical skills, but just like doesn't know how to search an area properly. Mm-hmm. Hers is more like I'll just go what's ever in front of me as opposed to like looking at every nook and cranny, which you need to in this game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's funny what the graphical jump between the fight scenes and the regular game.
Yeah. I could see it. It does seem very Final Fantasy, though.
Yeah. Oh, Headlander. Yeah, that was a Double Fine game, too.
Oh, yeah. You love that one, right?
Headlander was great. Yeah.
This is like Captain Underpants meets...
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a Nickelodeon
Hocus
cartoon.
Hocus Pocus meets
Dude,
Neopets.
So great. Like, Mila's getting into
RuneScape.
Reading now. She's reading Captain Underpants.
The graphics are almost as good as RuneScape. kidding. I'm kidding. They're not... I don't know. It's very cartoony.
What's next?
Chi, you said you've been doing some shopping.
Yeah, so now that I am dating a gamer, very early stages, please don't ask me any more questions. It's nice because the holiday season's
is
coming
it chosen?
Up. His birthday, no. the holiday season's coming up. His birthday's coming up. And I get and he doesn't listen to the podcast or watch my streams. It's
Fuck
awesome.
Him.
But he's a first gamer.
First impression, not so hot. I'm gonna go with that.
No, it's not that. It's like it's probably a good thing because I just there needs to be some segregation in lives, and it's nice because I get excited about shopping for presents that are gaming related.
Oh, okay.
And I find myself
is it his birthday
spending
or something?
Yeah, okay. And I find myself spending a lot of time, you know,
thinking about what. To
yeah,
get
being putting thought into thoughtful
right,
gifts.
Right. That's pretty sweet because it's something that you know about.
Mm-hmm. And then it's pretty cool. If you guys are looking for any website, like a go-to website to get something for your gamer, I know, you know,
SO.
We used to bring up Jinx and all of that stuff, but I really like redbubble.com
okay.
because it's all independent artists. There's an entire anime design section. There's an entire gaming section. You can search up at everything and you could, and it's really it's really good design. It's really good product and good discounts. And also on top of that, you can get anything from t-shirts to pants.
What'd you end up getting?
Coffee mugs to stationery. I haven't even finished shopping the full shopping cart yet because like one little thing
How
will inspire
do you have
like 10 other
cart?
Things. No, only 3 items right
Oh,
now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So, Redbubble?
Huh? Redbubble.com.
Never heard of them. I'll check it out.
So I know the holiday season is coming up. So if I do see any really cool gamer niche things.
Yeah.
Because, you know, do you guys ever really shop for gamers other than yourselves?
No, because gamers understand that, like, instead of me buying Bobby something, I'll just let him buy himself something.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
What just happened? What is it?
It's a giant firefly? Not a firefly. It's a dragon.
What are they called?
Bobby!
Where is
mosquito
it?
Mosquito hawk right here.
Kill that thing, too.
That is huge.
Eat it.
Yeah.
Hold on. It's
That's what I ate the other day when we were in the pool.
Do you have like a fly? It's up on the ceiling, Chi. You're okay. I got my eye on it. When it comes back down, I'm going to punch it.
This is the largest.
That guy is fat.
Yeah, dude. He's bigger than most of them. This is the largest I've ever seen Chi's eyes.
That is disgusting.
I didn't know your eyes could get that big, Chi.
Oh, he's sitting right above me.
That's not cool.
He's thinking about it.
Please.
Yeah, he's just eyeballing me up there.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on him.
All right.
But yeah, when we're in the pool, that's exactly what I ate out of the pool. One of those.
Great.
Yeah. It was salt water. There was no chlorine. It's totally...
Anyway, sorry I screamed into the mic. It's a giant fucking whatever it is. And it hit my face.
I opened the garage to fucking cool it down in here.
Oh, okay. And then they followed the light. That's what happened. Okay.
Here we are. And we're back.
So generally, when you get gifts, like oh, you're a gamer, I got you this gamer gift. Like, what do you generally get? And it's generally not very impressive. It's generally not very impressive, right?
You're like, a game?
Oh, yeah. You tried.
Yeah.
Right? I don't go for that. I don't go for, oh, yeah. You found it. I like Zelda. Okay, well, you tried. No. Like, Chi-Chi doesn't.
Yeah, you're a good gift giver.
Well, generally. And so with my brothers, I always get them game-related apparel, and so I get really excited when it comes to shit like this. All right, and moving on.
All right, so we kind of missed a week with my movie reviews here, but I just want to
catch up on the ball, dude.
No, they're coming out steadily, but you know, we didn't bring it up last episode. So last week, already up is Lara Croft Tomb Raider, the 2001 version. First time ever seeing that one. Not a big Tomb Raider fan, so it was interesting to watch that.
I liked it. I thought it was a good review.
Yeah, I was actually pleased with it. Like, I thought it was going to be really tough, and then when I sat back and watched it, I was like, huh, this one actually came out all right.
They should play your reviews at, like, Blockbusters.
Blockbuster videos?
Yeah, there's no more. Never mind.
There's one left.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Anchorage, Alaska or something, right?
No, I think it's, like, Oregon or Washington.
Mm.
Yeah. But, yeah, so this movie, 2001... The soundtrack was killing me, man. The soundtrack was all that, like, late 90s, early 2000s techno, you know, basement jacks. Yeah, I was like, oh, man, I'm glad we're past that. But this movie cost $115 million to make, which is super expensive. And usually when that happens, I'm like, okay, special effects. Those are, like, the number one cause of expensive movies. But in this movie, yeah, special effects, but there was also practical. Just, like... Well, practical effects and huge set pieces, man. Like, some of these set pieces were insane. Like, and you know what's crazy is they build these things and then they just tear them down when they're done with the movie.
Yeah.
Or they go...
Or put them somewhere.
Yeah, like, I think down in Puerto Nuevo, there's, like, a museum or something, like the Romeo and Juliet cars down there.
I mean, it's still there, and yeah, you can pay to get through there, but, like...
It's pretty decrepit.
Yeah, it's all falling apart. Yeah. Fox Studios made something in Puerto Nuevo, which is, like, 30 minutes from us. But... It's all falling apart, but that's where they did Pirates of the Caribbean 1.
Yeah, you can see the ship from Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah.
I don't even know if the ship's there anymore, man.
Yeah, like the one from Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor.
The cars. Have you seen that Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann one, where they roll up in those two, like, crazy-looking cars? Those ones are down there. But you see them, and they're just, like, the weather. It's by the beach. The weather has just torn them up.
Yeah.
But
and the Mexicans.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't take care of them, but... Yeah, man, that's what happens to these, like, millions of dollars worth of set pieces, dude. They just end up getting thrashed or just left somewhere. It's nuts.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this movie was expensive to make. But what's crazy, the money that it made was the exact same amount that the new Tomb Raider made. I mean, not to the dollar, but, like, $275 million is what this movie made. Mm-hmm. Pretty damn good. But and the new Tomb Raider that came out, like, 2 years ago, $275 million.
Do you think it's crazy? Like,
Angelina Jolie, like,
that's not
what
as
was
big.
Her average movie profit?
Oh, that's interesting.
When she was acting? I don't know. And that's another thing, too. I watched this movie. I'm like, oh, yeah, she was a pretty good action star back in the day. Totally forgot about that. I mean, she's like directing now, isn't she?
I think she's raising 8 kids, dude.
Oh, yeah, and going through some personal
she's
stuff.
She's ripping.
For the longest time, I said she had the prettiest face I'd ever seen.
Huh?
I think she had the prettiest
face. Yeah, she's very attractive.
I had ever seen at that point.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if you watch this movie, she is like the perfect fit for Laura Croft.
Oh, absolutely. I believe that. Not the prettiest face I've ever seen.
I disagree.
She's got those big eyes and those like cheekbones. Yeah.
Those lips.
Yeah, big lips. Big lips.
Yeah, but she's like for a woman, she's got really emasculated features, in my opinion, too, in her face. I think she needs a more feminine. Like the Victoria's Secret model, I forgot her name. Like, I think she is prettier than her.
Or even Jessica Alba has a
prettier face because it's just a little bit more effeminate.
But we're heterosexual men, so you're out.
Jolie, that's true. Jolie is hot, though. But, like, pretty.
So pretty, man.
A difference between pretty and hot.
I don't know. I'm trying to tiptoe around this a little bit, but I don't trust women when they tell me like, oh, you should meet my friend. She's really cute. You know, when she tries to set you up with her friend,
women
are typically a pretty bad judge of other women. I find,
I don't know. I would go homo for Alba, but not for Jolie.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Like,
and see Alba, I always said about Alba, like if I went to the mall, I'd see a hotter girl.
Really?
Generally. Yeah. I never thought she's like another Mexican girl for me. And that's what all I ever.
Oh,
agree,
yeah. You know?
Jeff Sunday, thanks for the
subscription. Had about 300 about them.
Thank you for the sub.
Yeah, but she was great in that movie. And you know what's weird? The guy who plays Richard Croft, Laura Croft's dad, is her real-life father, John Voight.
Yeah,
weird.
It is weird, because he has a different last name and all that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that in Hollywood, but it's just kind of weird to see father-daughter acting.
And they hated each other up until like going up into that film.
Really?
Yeah, they weren't talking for years and years.
Yeah, I mean, when she was younger, she had this real streak of just being very rebellious.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that movie is up on our YouTube channel. Also coming out,
is up, not the movie.
Yeah, the review is up. Coming out this Friday is going to be Grandma's Boy. That was a difficult one to do because it's hard to break down just a stoner gross out comedy, man. Yeah. Like, how do you analyze that? Yeah. You know, so it was kind of cool though, because I just kind of offered, like, you know, what that movie meant to me, why I found it funny. Totally subjective, by the way. Like, you know, you could totally not find this movie funny, and I couldn't fault you for that. But it was cool because that's, you know, one of my favorite gaming movies, and very I don't know, very impressionable on me, I think, in my younger years. So I always enjoy watching that, and I enjoyed reviewing it.
And of course, the comedy and the humor is relative to that time. Obviously, some of it's still funny, but at that age, at that time,
you know, it takes place in Southern California. So, like, you know, I know a Dante, you know, that naked drug dealer. Yeah, like,
yeah, right.
But
with the monkey.
Yeah, the monkey. Oh, my God.
I can't stop coming.
I wanted to make that the opening scene, but I was like, oh,
God, it's so fucking funny, dude. Stop coming on my mom.
The funniest part about that movie is Nick Schwartz, and he's so hilarious in that movie. And,
Bobby, I got to send you. You're a big fan of his. I need to send you this. I think I talked about it even on this podcast. Two guys that I watched, they have their own podcast, and at the very beginning, it's called Rip My Drip, which means like they just tear each other down.
Oh, yeah, and you said Nick Schwartz walked in one time.
Obliterated them. Yeah. It was a whole
And that's what he
level.
Does in this movie, man. Like, that's all this movie is. And that's kind of why I liked it, because I'm like, this is like me and my friends, you know, just constantly ragging on each other and, you know, giving each other shit. So, yeah, I don't know. I stand by that movie. So that giant bug.
It's almost like the Chad Emilio.
Up. Oh, it's gone.
Dynamic.
Yeah, I keep looking up to see what he's doing, and I looked up, and now he's gone.
So they're not aggressive. They can't do anything to you.
I am so on edge since it hit me in the side face.
Yeah, no, he's lurking. Oh, there he is. He's right there.
Oh, my God.
He's above Emilio.
No joke.
Now.
Why is he so big?
That's one of the biggest ones I've ever seen.
Holy shit.
I'm going to try to grab it for the camera.
I swear his abdomen is full of blood. Oh, my fuck.
Yeah, that probably.
That one sucked a big cow. For sure.
So movie's coming up this month.
Don't do it. You're going to agitate him. You're going to aggro him. He's going to go for the...
It's not...
Why is it so big?
That's what she said.
I don't think you're going to get him. You need a fly swatter or
you're
something.
You're going to hurt yourself, Amelia.
You're kicking the mics. I like how you're lying still, just waiting to capture him.
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm going to catch him.
Amelia's trying to catch this bug on the ceiling with his bare hands. What?
Oh, no, he's coming back.
He's so fucking huge. I don't know why.
Oh, he's on the light now.
Emilio, you're going to hurt yourself. No
way. Yeah, this guy is smart.
Guy's big. Well, you don't get that big as a bug being dumb.
Yeah, that guy's been through some stuff. Oh, he's right behind you, dude. He's right there.
You need a friggin' butterfly net to catch that thing.
Where is he?
Right, he's in the metal railing right there.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just really quick, like slap him.
Whoa.
You have to be really quick.
Ah, you got him!
Oh, he's on your knee. He's all over your knee.
Gross!
Oh, my God.
Should we eat it?
No.
You sure?
No.
No. Please don't. Please don't. I don't even want to look at it. Stop. Amelia.
Where did you put something like this?
Ew.
Leave it right there.
Oh, God.
Seat.
Gross.
Yeah. It's our new
that was
partner.
Refreshing for my knee.
Okay. So movies coming up in October. I'm going to be doing some horror movies, starting off with Doom Annihilation. New Doom movie just came out. You know, I've heard it's terrible. I've heard it's great. I've heard it's all right.
I heard they bring back the imps that throw fireballs. That's what Shadow Master said. What made it better than the first one?
The first one did have an imp. He didn't throw a fireball, though. But it was definitely an imp. All right. I guess it's time to talk a little news here.
I think I'm going to eat it.
Please don't. Can you just leave it alone? Oh my gosh. He put it down where Ray used sits. It's going to go up Ray's butt.
What do you guys think?
No, you
should go highbrow?
You should put it on Ray's mic for next week and just see if
it goes. Oh my God. Took a photo of that. Oh my God. It's so fucking huge. I'm going to vomit.
That's also what she said.
Nobody use that microphone. All
right. Oh, yeah, that's going right in Ray's mouth.
Oh, my God.
He's going to be so happy.
What the fuck is this shit? I can see it right now.
Oh, my fucking God. It's going to come back to life. It's going to be a fucking zombie bug.
And maybe he'll start talking in the mic. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
All right. Let's see. News. First up, Logitech is buying Streamlabs for $89 million. So this news came out last week, but we didn't talk news last episode. But yeah, Logitech is purchasing Streamlabs for $89 million.
I wonder if that's a good or a bad thing.
Oh, it's got to be good.
It's got to be good.
Well, definitely the Streamlabs people are happy as shit.
It's probably going to integrate a lot of Logitech's existing hardware into the software. It's going to complement each other even so much better. Yeah. It's going to make it easier for streamers. And then Logitech has a shit ton of money. Streamlabs was almost all charity based.
Yeah, well, open source probably. Yeah,
yeah.
Maybe they'll actually release 1.0 sometime soon.
Here. Yeah, so I think this is great news.
Yeah, for sure. I can see that. Like, if you buy, they would put things together, kind of like if you buy this webcam.
Yeah.
That's just like the smallest bug you could possibly.
And those are the ones that suck blood. The big ones don't actually.
I'm pretty sure that was on me.
It's true. That's what that guy started out as.
Yeah. You sound exactly like an anime character, Chi. Yeah.
When I get startled, yeah. Generally that happens.
John 84J loved it.
Dude, we haven't had an episode where I'm freaking out about bugs yet. Now you guys know that about me. Yeah. I don't do bugs.
Should I go shut something?
I don't know why they're all coming in now. Like, we never had this problem before.
It's dark outside. I opened the garage door. It's light in here.
I don't know. We're fine.
All right. Well, are we?
I think we'll be okay.
Look at Chi's face, dude. Are you okay with that?
I'm ready to go home.
Let's get through this.
Let's do it. Okay. Masters of Doom television series cast Carmack and Romero. So we talked a few months ago about they're making a TV show based on the Masters of Doom, which is the story of John Carmack and John Romero, basically inventing PC gaming in the early 90s. They've casted those two characters. The one of them, the one playing John Romero, is Eduardo Franco. You've seen this guy before. He's popped up in a few things. He was in that Netflix series, American Vandal. He was just one of the friends.
Oh, okay.
He was also in Booksmart as one of the high school kids. He always plays like this dumb stoner kid with like really long hair, Hispanic-looking dude. And he very much looks like John Romero. So, you know, good casting there. I read a little into this article, and they were talking about, you know, a few story elements based on what they can tell from casting. And it seems like they're going to change a few things here and there, but essentially should be the same story. I don't know. I have high hopes for this, but at the same time, I could see myself watching one episode and be like, nah.
Even if it was good, I don't know if the public interest is going to be there enough to like carry this in season two. Or
I don't think it's going to be wildly successful.
Yeah, a miniseries would probably be the best for them.
I don't know if it even needs a season two. Like, just tell the story.
Gotcha.
Okay, next up, Super Smash Bros. Okay, so they interviewed Jeff Kaplan. You know, he's the whatever of Overwatch, like the head guy there. And in an interview, he said Overwatch was going to the Switch. And they asked him, like, oh, would you let Smash Bros. Take one of the characters? And he said, oh, they could have any character they want.
Damn.
So, damn. Big possibility that that Overwatch characters might be showing up in Super Smash Bros.
Sweet. That'd be cool.
Another side thing, there was a UFC on Saturday, and there's a new 170-pound champ. His name's Adesanya. His last name, Israel Adesanya. Anyway, when he won, his nickname is The Last Stylebender, which means it's a play on The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. And he's all into anime and shit. So the first thing he did was go like this. Maybe he looked across the screen or the cage before it started. And he went like this. Chi, I'm looking at you. So, he's into anime, right? So.
Mm-hmm.
Put it back. Yeah,
it's
back.
Who is this?
Just a fighter. Doesn't matter.
Oh.
But what anime was he referencing?
Death Note.
Yes. So, mm-hmm. In Death Note, the person's gonna die, whoever you write in the book, right?
That's awesome.
So, and then after he won the thing, he knocked the guy out. Spoilers. He did fucking Deadeye from Overwatch.
That's
He did kind of like the way he stumbles back and looks everywhere and then kills everybody and then puts his guns away.
What is this again?
UFC.
UFC. Oh,
stop
really?
Thinking about bugs.
Oh, okay.
I see.
Sorry.
She's like.
I am on edge right now. Thank you for the sub, Jubu.
And so anyway, it's cool that a fighter is doing Deadeye as a winning celebration. That's pretty sweet.
That's really cool. I love that, how much more mainstream gaming is becoming. And in news, Season 3, Apex Legends came out with a new character. I haven't played him. My little brother is getting back into playing Apex. He's making YouTube videos now, and he's really fucking good.
Yeah.
So I'll talk about it next week when I get into it.
You know, you mentioned The Last Airbender, and it reminded me. Have you guys watched Big Mouth Season 3 yet?
I started the first episode last night, but I haven't finished it.
Is that the TV show where the dude impregnates his pillow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the greatest show.
I can imagine you guys. So who would you be?
I mean, probably the guy that
impregnated his pillow. And who are you, Bobby? Are you the main character or the main character's tall, lanky friend?
I feel like I'm more the main character, but doesn't everyone say that? You know, that's the guy we're supposed to identify with. But yeah, there's an episode there where Jay, the character who makes loves to pillows, they all get superpowers, and he is the last cumbender, and he's just shooting ejaculate everywhere. It's so
because in the first episode he's not coming.
I love how you bring up Big Mouth. Peaky Blinders season 5-6.
I think
season 5.
Okay,
just finally released.
Yeah,
I watched the first
episode.
About? I'm super pleased. It's about a post World War I British gangster family.
Okay,
and it's really good.
Okay,
are they British or are they Irish?
No, there's nothing supernatural or
no, not at all. Mm-mm.
You know what? I had put this on the news. I'd put...
See, Jew for You says Israel Adesanya is the truth. He's so good, guys.
UFC?
Yeah.
Mm. Overwatch. Okay, so they had a little skit about Overwatch League on Robot Chicken.
Ooh, I would love to see this.
I would have played it, but we don't ever have.
I'm surprised Robot Chicken is even live anymore.
Yeah, I guess they're doing a 10th season. I didn't know they were still going. But you got to check it out. It's so funny. We don't have the audio hooked up here with the headphones. You guys can't. I was going to play it live.
It already looks
funny.
It's
only a minute and a half. Yeah, it's great. It's hilarious. But check that out.
You'll have Discord up, huh, Bobby? That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we'll do it later. Okay, last bit of news here. There we go. Writers Guild of America scraps its video game writing award. So wow. I read through this, and it's kind of complicated.
Yeah, it's more about them not being in the guild, right, in the first place?
Yeah, so the writers, the people who write video games aren't a part of WGA, but to be part of WGA, you have to work for a company that's unionized, or like you have to have something
credit
in place. So it's kind of the fault of the video game companies as well. Like it's a sticky situation.
Well, I saw that Borderlands 3 didn't use whoever it was that did Handsome Jack. Or he said he was
going north.
Yeah. He didn't come back because they hadn't unionized yet. So, this is getting forced on them more and more.
And that's a big deal. There's actually, I forgot to mention this a couple weeks ago, but there was a really good episode of a podcast I listened to called Maltin on Movies. And it's Leonard Maltin, film historian and critic since the 60s. Great, great podcast, great reviews. And he's talking to Phil LaMarr. And now, Phil LaMarr, you may not know that name, but you definitely know his characters. He's in every single video game, he's in every single cartoon. He's, Hermes Conrad in Futurama. Let me look. He's even acted in a lot of stuff. He's in the movie Step Brothers. He's just in everything, but always in small parts. But he's done countless video games. So he was talking a lot with Leonard Maltin about the difference between working in the film industry and working with video games. And he was talking a lot about when the voice actors went on strike, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. And he said it was just unbelievably difficult to negotiate with them because, when you know how actors talk about how they get checks for 4 cents or 5 cents every time this airs on TBS or something like that. You get those residuals, right? The video game industry was not even on the table because usually you take part in a movie or you do voice acting in a TV show or a film.
You can get points.
You negotiate how much that's going to be and it's going to be low or high. The video game company is nothing.
Zero.
Nothing non-negotiable. But, it's pretty crazy how... money's being made, dude. Money is being made by these companies. It's going somewhere, just not to a lot of the people involved, unfortunately. So I think there's a lot of improvement that could be made there, which will eventually come. But there's going to be a lot of situations like this, with the Writers Guild that we have right now, and this Nolan North situation that came up with Borderlands 3. Mm-hmm. But... yeah, I mean, if you look at this guy's IMDb credits, it's just ridiculous. Phil LaMarr. Great episode. Look it up. All right, that's it for news. We got a few listener questions. Let's burn through them here.
Yeah, so get home, get out of this bug trap, and get to playing video games.
I've been saying Nolan North. It's Troy Baker. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally messed that up. Okay, first question is from Half-Life. Does anyone love cycling? If so, what kind?
I do.
I cycle steroids sometimes.
I have really thick thighs, and cycling only leads to very unpleasant chafing and other things. So I don't like aggressive cycling, but I have...
Gee, take off your hat. Take off your hat.
Stop! Stop! Control me!
It's the most action Bobby's gotten in a while.
Sorry, Bobby.
Gee, you must be fun to watch a scary movie with.
Oh my gosh, the worst. Amelia.
Oh, man.
I've never been cycling before. I used to ride a bike all the time as a kid, but never cycling with the tight pants and the helmet and the
bike. Yeah, that's definitely a step.
Yeah.
Like getting the clothes, that's another step. I have a mountain bike, a very nice mountain bike. It's a Trek. And I don't use it as much because it broke and I don't want to go fix it. But yeah, the extent of my cycling, actually, I take Sam's bike, which is a girl's bike, and because it's easier to have Jocko. Jocko pulls me. That's how I exercise Jocko. Mm-hmm. It's like a sled. He can fucking pull me. He pulls me about a mile away, and then I kind of walk him back because he's fucking exhausted. But yeah, that's how you exhaust a cattle dog.
All right, next question from Zap. If you could update one movie or video game from modern times, what would it be and why?
Can we not get this question every episode?
Yeah, we get this one a lot. I mean, obviously, I would love to see a remaster of Jedi Knight. Yeah, Jedi Knight, or even, not Outcast, but the one before that. So Dark Forces 2, Jedi Knight, for sure, totally. Or Jedi Outcast. That is the second one. Academy is the third. But yeah, not like a reboot, not like a re-envisioning of it. I'm talking just a straight remaster of that. And then movie, I don't know, Ace Ventura 3.
I'd like a remaster of Fallout 3. I thought the voice acting was good. I thought the story is fantastic. One of my favorite games of all time. But if if you play it without mods, it is one of the... It's terrible. I mean, the graphics are so bad.
Fallout 3?
Yeah, Fallout 3.
I feel like the other Fallouts haven't done poor enough for that to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would dig some Pokemon VR, even though I'm not really into Pokemon anymore.
Physically throwing like a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Pikachu Snapchat VR.
All right. Next up, question from Days. Hard-hitting question here. Uh-oh. Where do you guys see the demographic of the community growing in the next 5 years? Do you think with more social media use and the rise of getting the DLG name out there, it will attract more of those in their 30s or attract more below 30? Do you think it matters or will change your listener base much? Or how you operate as casters, or will it not change a thing? I don't see our demographic getting any lower, honestly.
Yeah, maybe, because we're not getting any younger.
Yeah, I don't know if kids want to tune in to hear us, but...
Until I get rid of Bobby for some, like, I don't know what. I don't even know what's cool enough to insert here to get more young people in here.
Well, the young
Ninja?
Kids, the young kids listen to Joe Rogan and stuff, do they not?
I don't know. Everybody I talk to about Rogan is older.
Yeah, I feel like podcasts in general are just like an older person thing.
Yeah. Kids got too much fucking to do.
Yeah, they don't like to listen. They like to talk, but they don't like to listen.
Yeah.
But
it's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I definitely...
So, I guess the question really, if we are going to grow our numbers, Sniper said he's going to have us at 10,000 before the end of the year. if that happens, who are these people?
Well,
that's a good question.
Here's what I'm thinking, because we've been doing a lot more with stuff outside the podcast. Like, I think we're going to get more. I think our fan base is going to grow, but not necessarily in the podcast, right? Like, we're doing YouTube, social media, Twitch, like all that stuff. Like, I think we may get more people through that and not necessarily listeners. I'm sure we'll get more listeners too, but I really see like these other mediums,
other avenues,
as an area of growth for us right now.
Wakonia says, so Days wants younger dudes to bang at the next TwitchCon house.
Wow. Yikes. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see the crowd at the next TwitchCon house.
So
many new faces we get.
I imagine some sort of like Chuck E. Cheese situation where we're just watching kids running around. Like, what the fuck is going around?
Oh, God. all right. You know, there was one last listener question, but I think he deleted it, but I thought it was pretty good, so I'll ask it anyway. Do you guys ever feel like you're not a nerd anymore?
Oh, Shadow Master?
Yeah, I was going to leave it. Since he deleted it, I was going to leave it anonymous.
But
it's okay.
Gosh, I guess when I was younger, maybe I would have thought about that a little bit, but then I feel like I came into adulthood right around the time that they were like on Time Magazine. It was like Geek is Chic and all that stuff started coming out.
Yeah.
And it ended up being that there's more people into nerdy shit than not. Mm-hmm. It's just that, like, I think a lot of the time the internet brought everybody together. as far as like you're able to find the other nerds, and it turns out everybody's pretty much a nerd at the end of the day. Almost. Yeah.
For me, I find it interesting because I would say my nerddom, the way it affects my social life is mostly just with other women.
Yeah, like yeah.
With dudes,
you fit right in.
Well, with dudes, they can at least add to the conversation sometimes. With mm-hmm. girls, they're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But then at this point now, actually, a lot more girls are very much like, oh, that's so cool. I love that. I love that you have your own thing going on. I don't get it, but I respect it.
So you're saying socially it's like a plus for you?
Socially, like it's, I would say like with men, it's always been more or less the same thing.
Yeah.
With girls, previously before, it was such a closeted topic.
Yeah.
I couldn't bring it up because they weren't ever interested in listening.
Right, right.
And now to this day, they, of course, it's more or less they acknowledge it and understand it a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In
it's
terms
more
of
mainstream.
Mainstream yeah. ability, but they're still not interested in.
Right.
CSGO. Like elaborating
right.
on it.
Right, right.
So for me, I feel the divide when I'm talking to girls.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
But when I talk to dudes, the enthusiasm is there.
Right,
but
right.
But with women, it's still kind of
mock
like,
enthusiasm
let's
or
brush
just.
That under.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, let's get back to talking about what Kim Kardashian
right,
did
right,
this
right.
week. You know, so no, I'm just kidding. I'm shitting on.
Right, right.
But so it is like. And I'm just saying, like, in the general public scene, because, you know, obviously there are women who are so much more knowledgeable than me in, like, the gaming community and there's so many, like, female gamers.
Right, streamers. But to find them in the wild
yeah,
is it's, impossible.
It's generally, yeah, very yeah. under the rug topic.
You're the first one I ever met?
Yeah, right.
I mean.
Kind of.
To your level, probably.
Yeah. Thanks to, yeah, yeah thanks for coming to my bar, guys. So you got to come to my new ones all the time.
Mm-hmm. All right, that about wraps it up here. What's everyone playing next week?
Really quick, Workonia said that is being a nerd even a thing anymore? There is that ultra nerd that works in a lab with the pencils and shit in his pocket protector, and that does exist. When you can't hold a conversation because you're so into the technical sides of things, I would call that a nerd, but we need those people to progress the fuck and get us to Mars, so that's okay with me. They do exist.
Well, just... I feel like right now, being a nerd, there's different social scales to it now. You can be a nerd amongst other nerds, and being out in San Diego, I see that
yeah.
so much more. Whereas, you know, coming from the Midwest, I had all my gamer friends, but we would be in our respectable homes and play video games
together.
There
was no trivia night
out
when I got here.
Yeah, like out here, it's like we're nerds, we're gaming together, but we're also going out for drinks.
Yeah.
So it's, and then finding
the
other nerds.
At the end of the night.
Huh?
And jumping in the ocean at the end of the night.
Right? Or drowning. Yeah. What happened with that? Did you even talk about that story?
I did on the podcast. Or what's her name did?
We both almost drowned, me in the shower and you in the ocean.
Yeah. Yours was more like a full frontal, like drowning, though. You're like, ah!
Wasn't even
wow.
She swallowed until she couldn't swallow anymore, and then she started spitting, which was disrespectful, really.
Oh boy. Man, things really took a dive at the end here. So games we're playing next week.
Ray's probably sad he's missing out on this episode. He missed out on his flaw.
Oh, we didn't even mention that he wasn't here. and we trolled him for next week.
Yeah.
He has finals or midterms? One of the two.
Midterms.
Yeah, so.
It's finals in October.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I was going to die in the ocean for like 30 seconds. That's a really good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, everybody's like, are we going to the pool or the ocean? I was like, ocean! I've been here a million times. And then we got caught in the riptide, and I'm like, fucking, I don't know, 40 yards from the coast or whatever, from the beach. And all of the drinking, all of the like hangover all hit me at once. I noticed that everybody's back except for me and Days. And then, I drank a full gulp of water, like a full gulp. And then I was like... oh, this is, I'm not having a good time here. And then right when, I guess my eyes were giant, Daisy is like, are you okay? And I was like, no. Oh, no. And so she reached out her hand, and I pretty much grabbed her and used that as a buoy. Like, I could have endangered her.
Yeah.
Really, because I just pulled her towards me and just kind of like used her as a buoy towards the coast. And then I got in after that. So thank you, Daisy. Sorry, I almost killed you.
Oh my gosh, way to throw her under. And I heard she got hit by a wave, like right when you did that.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah, pulled her into a wave.
So you did endanger her.
But yeah, it was rough out there, man. It was
rough. For saving our Emilio.
Oh my God. Yeah, it hits you pretty quick when you're out there floating in the water because you're using all your muscles and all of a sudden you realize, like, oh man, I'm tired all
the time. You ever pull a muscle in the ocean? It sucks. Yeah. I hate it. It's terrifying.
And I talked to Daisy afterwards and she's always been used to swimming on the East Coast, lakes, rivers, stuff like that. She's like, I've never swam somewhere that there was any danger. And she's like, there's real danger here. And there is. Like, you get caught in a riptide.
Yeah, not to mention those cliffs we walked down to get
there. Yeah, yeah. That was enough. I told everybody before we go down here, fucking, you can die. Be careful.
Yeah.
Like, it's
rough. It happens a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Like, people die. I'm like laughing about it. I don't know why. It's like a nervous laugh. But yeah, dude, like, all the time you hear about people just tumbling down those cliffs. And it's usually tourists who are just like, oh, this looks fun. You know, it's not, man. You got to be careful out there.
Yep.
But yeah, that was a good time.
Playing next week. More Borderlands 3. I can't wait to get into true Vault Hunter mode. You also unlock this thing where you can read engravings. And you've seen these engravings all through the game. But every time you look into it, he's like, I don't know. What is this? Like, it's very weird. So now that you can read it, you can go back the second time, try to find them all. And then that unlocks Endgame or something like that. Anyway, I'm excited about that. More Children of Morta, and yeah, nothing new, really.
For me, I'm just getting back into, of course, the games I like. Counter-Strike, Apex, getting into MOBAs again, League. Streaming spoopy games. I love spoopy season, so scary games, here we go. Not just bugs in the room.
Any idea for your costume this year?
Oh, good question. I'm surprised that wasn't a listener question. I was anticipating that. Mm-hmm. I don't know yet.
I'm a listener.
I'm going to most likely do something video game related. Last year I did Sophia from Howl's Moving Castle. So this year... Oh, no. Last year I did Butterface. I was a Butterface. And so this year I might do something video game related.
All right. Bobby?
Mm. Oh, Jude, thank you. For the donut, we got $5.
Like a whole snack. Do we have notifications on? I didn't see it pop up, but...
Thank you, Jim.
I think the audio's turned off. Yeah, thanks a lot, man.
What do we get?
$5.
Yeah.
Okay, that's so generic. Don't tell me Chun-Li.
Chun-Li.
I don't want to get banned from Twitch.
You play right into it, though.
I do.
Work on those lightning kicks. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next week, I'm going to be playing. I've already installed Killing Floor 2, so that's going to be happening.
Oh, fantastic.
I'll probably give that a week. I want to check out the update. I don't know, but I want to get into some scary games. I want to finish Outlast 2. That's kind of a goal I got this month. So, might stream it. I don't know. We'll see.
Could have sworn you finished it. Or did you not finish the DLC?
I bought that game. Okay, so I bought that game. It came out like right around my birthday, and I had taken the day off because there was a huge Heroes of the Storm update. But the update didn't take effect till like, I don't know, 11 noon or something like that. So I had planned to stream all day. So I woke up, and I had like nothing to do on stream. So I just bought Outlast 2 and played like 3 hours of it until the HOTS update went through.
So you know where you guys rank in Bobby's life. He took a day off of work for Heroes of the Storm update, but he wouldn't take a day off of piano lessons to get to the TwitchCon house earlier.
Okay, because also 6. I knew there was no way you were getting there at 10 o'clock in the morning. All right?
That's true.
What time did you get there?
Like 5.
Well, I mean, it was like noon, but Ray didn't get there till like 1. Yeah. Yeah, no, you don't need to worry about me being on time.
All right. Speaking for Bobby, Chi, non-existent. Ray's going to freak out next week. Nobody tell him, please. Fucking mosquito tits. Bye.
Oh my gosh.
Somebody on the fucking... Oh, it was Gummy. He was like... Are we still on?
Yeah.
He was like, I liked it better when you would sign off every episode with titties. And I was like, nothing's changed, dude.
You do.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what his problem was.